You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, tonight is, as a praise and worship team was, I'm not going to preach all of this, guys. I just told Jerry, just in case the Holy Ghost moved, I had something to go to. Ooh, Lord. Anyway, as the praise and worship team was singing tonight, and we were in our praise and worship service, they sang a song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down. And then they sang one, Church on Fire. Now, they don't have any idea what I'm preaching tonight. But let me tell you something. I believe that we as a church, and not only this church, but all churches, we need revival.
Amen.
Folks, we need to seek revival. We need to be ready for revival because God has said He was going to send revival. Also, we need restoration in our churches, restoration in our lives. I don't know how many people I meet on a daily basis that needs restored. I don't know how many people I run across in churches where we sing and minister that needs restoration and recovery. And you know what? We need the anointing and the power of God in our churches.
Amen.
It's not that it's not there. It's not that God hadn't provided it for us. We just hadn't spent enough time seeking and putting Him first. You know, we sang a lot of songs tonight, and we were singing songs to Jesus, to God, putting Him first. And folks, we're not number one. He is. But what we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm going to start off kind of mild because I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost move on this thing. But we're going to talk about stirring up the gift that's within you. I've seen a phrase, I've heard a phrase lately. It just seems in the secular part. I have seen and heard this phrase, fire from within, flame from within. You know, what we need is we need fire that God has given to us, that's provided for us to move in our lives, to cause us to have the anointing and the power of God so that we can move mountains. We need to have the power of God in our lives so we can move in the situations that God has provided for us. God has provided us every way and means to succeed in life, whether it be prosperity, whether it be healing or health, whether it be in marriage, anything that we have that troubles us in this life, God has already provided a way and a means to do it.
Amen.
But He also provided the anointing and the power of God in our lives for us to be strong in Him and for us to be able to do. You know, when the power of God comes upon you, the power is strong. You know, God was strong. Jesus was strong. Jesus, when He came out of the wilderness, He was empowered. When He was baptized in the Holy Ghost, He went out in power. Folks, God provided us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gave us a comforter. He gave us a way and a means to have the power to fight the devil. He gave us the way and a means to go forward in life.
Amen.
Now, folks, church, we have a good, rounded teaching here at this church. We have a great pastor. We have great word in our church. But you know what? It takes each and every one of us moving in the power of God. Each one of us at our place in life, letting the anointing flow upon us. You know, you just don't know who's watching your life. You don't know how you're going to affect somebody. If God tells you to do something, you ought to do it in church. If God tells you, not if Mo tells you, or not if someone else tells you, but if God tells you to move, you need to move. If your feet gets hot and gets to itching, kick them shoes off and let's go. Folks, I'm not advertising anything that we need to do on our own. But what I'm saying, God has given us the ability. Over in 2 Timothy 1 through 6, or Lord help me. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on my hands." What he was telling Timothy, he said, Timothy, when I ordained you, when I laid my hands on and ordained you, there was a prophecy that went forth that said, you have the power of God upon you. He said, God had prophesied to him that he was to do the same work that Paul had done. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to perform the same way that I did. Under the anointing, under the power of God. He said, now stir up that gift that God gave you back when I laid the hands on you. And what we're saying tonight, I think what God is saying to the church, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, if the power of God is upon you, then let's stir this thing up. Let's get it going. Let's move in that avenue because, folks, it takes each and every one of us. It's kind of like a team. You know, you put a team together, the team has got to be unified. They've got to be in one accord. Over in the second chapter of Acts, when Jesus told them, he says, you go and you tarry in the upper room until you are endued with power from on high. The endowment of power from on high was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when they were in the second chapter of Acts, where it says, and they were, let's go to second chapter of Acts. It said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want to stop there for just a minute. In one accord meant they were at a place where everybody was in agreement. There wasn't anybody that was unconcerned of what was going on. Everybody was paying attention because Jesus had told them, you go to the upper room and you tarry there until you are filled with the Holy Ghost, until power comes upon you. And when they were there, they were all in one accord. There wasn't anybody that was unconcerned about what happened. They were all seeking the same thing because they were seeking the promise that God had given. God has given us many promises in the Bible. God has given us the word to stand upon. He's given us word for healing. He gives word for prosperity. He's given us word for every avenue in our life. And what we need to do is to take those scriptures, we need to stand on. We need to be in one accord. If we want our church to grow, we need to be in one accord. We want our church to grow, we need to be in unity. And I'm talking to the choir here tonight because let me tell you something. We are. This church is probably one of the very few that I've ever been in where we have a lot of unity. Folks, we need to unify in the power of the God. We need to let the Spirit of the Lord move in our lives so that there can be more than a pastor given interpretations. They can be more than one or two people that's given a message in tongues. But they can be more than one or two people that wants to run. Folks, running don't mean anything. It's an emotional thing sometimes. But let me tell you something. I know when the power of God hits Fred, he's going to get up and move. He's going to do something. He may jump off this platform. He may jump up out of that chair. But he's going to do what God wants him to do. I've seen a few people of the power of God has hit them and they've moved in it. Amen. You know, God might ask you to walk up under the anointing of the power of God and lay hands upon Tiffany. Or you may have a word for somebody. Folks, we need to start operating in these gifts. We need to start moving in these gifts. We need to let the power of the Holy Ghost move in our lives to a point that we're edifying each other through God. Amen. Amen. It's not about us. It's about what he has given us. Oh, hallelujah. It says, and the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. This is where Jesus told them to go. And before that happened, I guarantee they wasn't up there playing Monopoly. They wasn't playing some game on the computer. What they were doing, they were in prayer, because they had seen Jesus doing exactly the same thing. Jesus, time after time after time through the Scripture, left the disciples and went off to pray and to spend time with God. You know what he was doing? He was getting the infilling of the Holy Ghost upon him. He was getting the power, because it's just like a preacher that preaches a lot. You can preach and you can preach, you can preach, and it goes out, it goes out, it goes out. Sometimes the preacher's got to go somewhere and get preached at or preached to, because they need to be filled. This is why it's good for our pastor to go. Because he goes to these conferences and he can get filled up. And he can come back full of the Holy Ghost. He can come back full of the power. He can come back with the Word stronger than what it was when he left. We need to start operating in it. It's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's not just the elder's responsibility. It's not the folks that minister on this, out of this pulpit. I'm honored every time the pastor leaves and he asks me to preach. I'm honored. I feel it's an honor of God that he called me to do what he's called me to do.
Amen.
And it ain't me, because I can tell you right now, Jerry can tell you real quick, that before I started coming to this church and before God started talking to me about speaking, I didn't get up and speak in front of congregations that well. But let me tell you something. God has done something in my life. He's changed me. He baptized me in the Holy Ghost. He gave me the power. He gave me the anointing. And he doesn't intend for me to walk on those past anointings. He doesn't intend me to operate under the anointing that I got when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He wants us to operate under the anointing that we got yesterday, the anointing we got today, the one we got this morning.
Amen.
He wants you to be infilled, 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 infilled. Cameramen like me, I can't stay still. I don't intend to. Hallelujah. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I want you to listen to the commentary that I've got here. It says, the Holy Spirit filled the house and moved upon the 120, flowing out of their innermost beings like rivers of living water. The word shed forth, or shed on, and pour out, literally means to gush out, spill out freely, or pour out abundantly like mighty Niagaras of living water and power from on high. How many of you ever seen the Niagara Falls? I haven't seen it. I've seen pictures of it, but they tell me that it's powerful. It's gushing waters. How many have ever been in a place where you've got gushing water running down a river or a creek right after a big rain? Or maybe even your street, for an instance, you know, it's come down and just gushed. Folks, that's power. That's power. It's not being poured out. It's not just being shed out. It's being gushed out with power. And it also said that the blast, now listen to this, it was like a mighty rushing wind, gushing like a mighty, you know how water, when it's gushing, it makes a loud noise. You can hear it. You can hear it roar. But there's like thunder before this happened. But it said, if I can get to it, it was like a blast or a clap of thunder. I like to think of it like a blast of dynamite. You know, they had done what God had told them to do. They were obedient. They were willing. And they were expecting. If you're not willing, if you're not obedient, and if you're not expecting, you'll sit right there in that seat and God will never move on your life. But if you seek Him and you say, God, here I am, I'm here, I'm open, Let the power flow through me. Let the Holy Ghost flow through me. Let the anointing flow through me. And let me touch somebody else's life. Let it flow through you. Let it come and gushing in. If it gushes in, it's going to gush out. But let me just talk a little bit about anointing. You take a vessel and you fill it full of oil. And let's say this is the anointing oil of God. You are the vessel. You pour this oil into this vessel, and this vessel's got a crack in it. What's that oil? What's going to happen to that oil when you sit around for a while? It's going to seep out, isn't it? It's going to go empty, or it's going to get real low. Until you patch that hole, it's going to continue to seep out. You know, that's what the devil wants to do in our life. He wants to find a little window. He wants to find a little hole that he can sap the power that's in you. And when you get filled in, it goes right back out. You get filled up, it goes right back out. It doesn't stay with you. Oil also, and the reason I'm talking about oil, because oil, the anointing, kind of represents oil. We talk about that in the Old Testament, how they used oil to anoint the kings. But oil, you have to, how many has a car? Raise your hand, let me see. Jerry, you got a car? You got a truck, don't you? Everybody is told when they start driving an automobile that if you've got an automobile, you got an engine, same thing as your lawnmowers, we've got a mechanic sitting right here, he'll tell you all about it. But you have to change that oil periodically. You have to refresh that oil periodically. Why? Because it'll lose its viscosity. It'll get thick on you. Get stale. So they say, replenish your oil. Change your oil in your filter so you can keep that engine fresh. So you can keep that engine running efficiently. So you can have that engine doing what it's supposed to do for a long time, because they're too expensive to buy every year or two. That's the way the anointing of God is. If you have the anointing of God upon your life, you fill it up, not 30 years ago. Yes, you got baptized in the Holy Ghost whenever. But maybe it's time to change your oil. Maybe it's time to replenish that oil. Maybe it's time to get an infilling of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. So that you can stir up that gift, so you can get that gift. You know what stir means? I got it here somewhere. Stir, and I may sound, maybe it's stir or stir, I don't know. Stir. Stir. Webster Dictionary says, to set or keep in motion, to mix, to reuse, to begin to move, to be in motion, to continually be moved. Amplified translation said, stir up, rekindle. The embers fan the flame of and keep burning. It says here, therefore, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. What is the gift of God? The gift of God is the anointing. The gift of God is the power. And you know, those gifts can be neglected. And if this happens, they're not properly used or replenished with continual grace and power from the Holy Spirit anointing. If they're not, they will become powerless, useless, thus fail in the purpose that they're sent to do. They will become, this is why that man needs a constant supply of the Spirit. Many fillings, as we see in Acts. And that's what we were looking at over there. And you know what? Something else will happen once you get refilled with the Holy Ghost. You know what happens to you? You become bolder. Don't you? Think back when you first got saved. You wanted to tell everybody that you saw what God did for you. Amen. You know what God done for me? You get on the phone and you call mom and you call daddy and you call somebody. Hey, I gave my heart and life to the Lord last night. Mm-hmm. Then when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you get really bold, kind of like Peter did. See, Peter, he denied Christ 3 times. But when it come to the point in time when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and they started mocking him, and they started laughing at him and said they were filled with new wine. Yeah, they were filled with new wine, but it wasn't the kind of wine they were talking about. It was that new wine from heaven. And he got up and he told them, he was bold. He said, let me tell you, this is not what you think it is. This is because the Comforter has been sent by the person in which you crucified, who was raised from the dead and went back to heaven, sent his Comforter so that we could have the same power and work in the same method and operate method that he operated in. And that's exactly what he's given us to do. But folks, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to be filled and filled and refilled and refilled. And how do we do that? Through the prayer and through working through the Word. You know, most of us as Christians, and I put myself in the same position, we like the everyday cares of this life hinder us from spending time with God, hinders us from spending time in the Word, and we work on kind of like a battery. We work on about a third of the power most of the time. And when a situation comes up, you don't have enough power left in you to charge that next person up or get that next person into a position to where you can get him recharged, get them refilled, get them infilled with the Spirit. You have to call somebody else that's been in prayer. I'm not talking about you particularly. I'm talking about me. But if the shoe fits, we need to wear it. Folks, I know God is not necessarily pleased with us all the time in how much time we spend with Him. Amen. Jesus thought enough of it that when He felt like He was getting low in the power that He was operating under, He would go find some time to get with God. It's like going to the gas station or with electric car. It's like going and getting plugged in and getting your battery recharged so that you can operate in the same power. You know what power is? Here it's dunamis. It says inherent power, power to reproduce itself, implying need of constant activity and use for continued reproduction. From this word we get dynamo and dynamics, the principle of motion or active operation. Just as dynamo needs to be in motion to produce power, so one needs to stir up into a flame the gift of God in their life. To kindle, to move around. You know, if you start a fire, you get the fire going, and it's burning quite well. And the way you knew that is normally you start off with kindling. And you put a little fuel on this kindling, and you get that going, and then you add another piece of wood, and then you add another piece, and you add another piece, until you get the kind of fire that you're looking for. But you walk away from that fire, or you take one of those embers or one of those sticks of wood out of that and move it away from the fire, what happens to that piece of wood? The fire goes out. It's not where the power is. It's not where the fire is. It's not where the anointing is. In this case, anointing the Holy Ghost. But if you take that piece of wood and you put it back over there on that fire, and it'll ignite and it'll take off and it'll burn. Folks, that's what God wants to do with the anointings in our life. is that when we stir this up, we get the fire going, we get it kindled. You can take a fire and you can get it started, and it'll consume, a big fire will consume everything in its way until it's put out. And sometimes when these big fires get started, it's hard to stop them. It's hard to stop them. Folks, it's the same thing with us. If we get a fire going in this church, we get a fire going and we're all in one accord and we're all working towards the same thing, the power of God on our lives, and we're moving in under the power of the Holy Ghost. We're unction to function, so to speak. And we get all in one accord, we will start a fire here that will be impossible to put out.
Amen.
It will not only set fire to everybody that comes into this church, it will set fire to everybody around this church, everybody in the city, in the county, in the state. Folks, that's how revivals got started. We need revival. The revivals that I can remember even back in my, when I was growing up, in the old churches that we used to have, we would have revivals and they would go for weeks, and it wasn't just a Wednesday through Sunday or a Sunday through Wednesday, and it wasn't just an hour or two. Folks would go in and I was a little bit too young to remember all of it, but I can remember being stuck underneath a pew or a chair. We did have some sawdust like arbors, brush arbors. But a lot of them was in churches. I remember a lot of times that I was put under a place to keep people from stepping on me when people started shouting. When Sister Lulu over there decided she wanted to take off and run, you better be hiding somewhere, because if you were a kid on the floor, you got it. And the people around her got it too. Let me tell you, the anointing was contagious. The power of God was contagious. And it would go on for sometimes weeks. And the power of God would be so strong that it would draw people in, draw the sinners in to the churches. That's the power of God that we need on our lives. So many times we get anointed, we get the power of God on our lives, something happens to us in this church, and lo and behold, we'll walk away from here and nobody will ever know about it. Nobody will ever feel it until, you know, it might last 15 minutes, might last a half hour, maybe till the next morning. Then you face your situations at work. You face the things of the world, the family, whatever problems you're dealing with. And here we go. I hope this is not coming off gruff to you, but folks, I'm telling you, I've got this in me. God has put this in me about the anointing and the power of God. God has put this in my heart about revival. Revival starts with me. It starts with me. It starts with you. But when each one of us do our part, when each one of us do what God has given us to do, and we operate under the anointing that God has put us under, folks, will edify the church, and the church will grow, and the church will see miracles and signs and wonders that will follow those that believe.
Amen.
We see signs and wonders. We see things happen. This last year, I've witnessed one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen in my life. And I think he's going to be here Sunday. He probably would want to give his testimony. Greatest miracle I've ever seen. Mike Turbeville. And I'm not going to steal his thunder. But I can tell you one part of that. That when I got the phone call, they said, "You don't think he's going to make it?" I said, "No way. My God is much stronger than that. My God loves him more than that. And it's not God that's doing this. The devil. You take your hands off of him. You have no part in his life. We got to have the power and the strength when somebody calls upon us to help them. Folks, we need to be able to stand in the gap. We need to be able to stand with the power of God in our lives that is so strong that it just reaches out and touches. You know, I talk about that seat being anointed. Well, I guess it's that third one I sat in most of that. And I know Fred has said his anointed. Folks, it's not just that it's every seat in here is anointed. It just so happened I like to sit there because I feel the anointing. No. You know, a church should be a church that can reconstruct lives, restore lives. You know, things happen and we don't understand it. But you know what? It doesn't mean that God still doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that the anointing, the power is still not there. The same anointing that came into that room with those disciples, there was 120 in that room, and it was all filled at the same time. You can imagine the power that you can just see one person baptized in the Holy Ghost and the power just all over them. I can imagine 120 in one accord all at the same time. It said it was like cloven tongues of fire that come down upon them. Fire is purification, but I consider the fire the anointing that came with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because it said they spoke in tongues. They were baptized, filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. Spoke in tongues. You know, I heard one time about Lazarus. How Lazarus was raised from the dead by the power of God. But I also read that there was a commentary said that Jesus, when he was, it was Lazarus. And they said that Lazarus wasn't bound like a mummy, that he was bound or he could walk. Probably not very well, like a penguin or something. I don't know. But see, he was raised from the dead. A power raised him. But he still carried baggage with him. He still had the grave clothes on. He still was in bondage. That's like a lot of us in churches. We may be saved. We may have been baptized with the Holy Ghost at one time. But we still are carrying some wrappings from the world. We don't want to get rid of the bondage that we've been in. Folks, God wants to clear our minds. He wants to clear us of all of our problems. He wants us to get us into a situation where we can concentrate on Him, where we can get our eyes upon Him, and we can say, "Rain, Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down on me." And if you're sincere with that, God will give that to you. God will cause that to happen. God is a good God. God loves us. But we need the anointing of God in our lives. And folks, we do that through the power of prayer and through the power of the Word of God. And when you know the Word of God, and you know what the Spirit has told you, and you know that you can walk under that power, and that means speak in tongues, that means get some time with God, and tell Him how much you love Him. And it's not all about us. I need this, I need this, I need this. Father, I just love You. I'm just so thankful. Thank You for this day. This is the day You've made. I shall rejoice in it because You made it for me. Yesterday's gone. We can't live off of yesterday's anointing. Tomorrow hasn't got here yet. Let's live on today's anointing. Amen. Let's find out where we're at today, and let's get anointed today, and let's work off of that, and let's run off of that. Let's run off of some fresh oil. Amen. Huh? Let's get our oil changed. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God.